no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again this week for another hour of old-time radio variety. Begin the show today with The Man Called X, an episode from February 24th, 1951, titled A Tiny Bit of Microfilm. Then it's a quick Believe It or Not in Strange Vigil. We'll finish off today with another episode from 1951. From July 1st, we'll hear Mr. Moto and Project 77. But first, here's The Man Called X.
There was no warning, no presentment of impending disaster. The papers headlined the cliche of another impasse at the United Nations. Radio commentators announced a new gangland murder, the firing of a football coach. There was not the slightest hint that the entire civilized world might be in terrible danger. And then a telephone started to ring in a certain New York City apartment.
Hello?
Ken, better get down to the bureau right away.
What's up, Chief?
Formula H.
I'll be right there. Sure there's no mistake, Chief?
Another chance, Ken. It's Formula H, all right. The key to the most destructive weapon ever conceived by man. And a set of the microfilm is missing.
When was the loss discovered?
I got a call from Los Alamos 20 minutes ago.
Any idea who?
Take your choice, Ken. Sir John Saunders of England, Charles Gomar of France, Aline Najda of Belgium.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Three of the world's greatest atomic scientists. All of them cleared to work with our top men. And all of them had access to those plans.
What's been done about them?
Washington just reported on a personal security search.
And?
No trace of the film.
No, there wouldn't be.
Well, what the devil are we going to do about it? We can't let those plans get out of the States. Why, Ken, if they fall into the wrong hands, the whole world could go up in smoke.
Chief, weren't the three of them about to leave this country for a scientific convention in Paris?
That's right. They were all set to take off at midnight from Washington in a chartered plane, but don't worry about that. We'll cancel the flight and hold them in custody.
Why?
Why? For Pete's sake, Ken. One of them's obviously using that trip as an excuse to get out of the country with those plans.
That's why I think we should let him go.
What?
Look, Chief. It's 100 to 1 that Formula H is on its way out of the States right now. None of the three has the plans on him. So what are you going to accomplish by holding them in custody?
Well, I don't know, but we just can't let them skip the country.
Why not? If I go along.
What have you got in mind, Ken?
We are not leaving Washington until midnight. That gives us plenty of time to make arrangements for me to take over as co-pilot on the flight.
Co-pilot?
I'll have until we land at Shannon Island to come up with something. Maybe learn which one it is or get some hint as to what's happening to that microfilm.
Oh, but you haven't anything to go on, Ken. Nothing to work with.
Got any other ideas, Chief?
All right. Let's go.
Looking for somebody?
Yeah. Captain Bill Allen. Have I found him?
Well, you couldn't have done it better with radar, pal. You must be thirsting the new car.
That's right. Hope you don't mind the last-minute switch.
Oh, brother, there's been nothing but switches on this flight. We're going. We're canceled. We're going again. I've even filed 2 flight plans, one for Shannon and one for the Savoy Bar. No, Thurston, you don't bother me a bit.
Well, thanks, Allen. This our ship?
Yep. Fuel check cleared and ready to go as soon as our 3 VIPs get in.
Just the 3 of them going along?
That's right. Mm-hmm. 2 of us and the steward will make a total of 6. We'll be flying light, high, and handsome. That's why I file nonstop. Hey, looky there. Seems as if the brain trust's showing up. Hey, Thurston, I thought we were carrying electronic graybeards. Who's that streamlined jet guy?
She must be one of them, Alan. Dr. Helene Nashbell, Belgian.
Well, don't tell me she's got all that and brains, too. Wow, we'll be flying the beam tonight.
Are you all set to go, Captain?
Well, just let them get aboard, sir, and we'll be off.
Good. The plane's all ready. So if you'll all get aboard, Dr. Nashda.
Here, let me help you with that bag, Miss Nashda.
Well, thank you, Captain.
Oh, think nothing of it, ma'am. Nothing at all. Oh, you button up after we're all aboard, will you, Thurston? I'll see our passengers and make comfortable.
Sure. Passengers, did he say? That's a relief. For a moment, I thought Dr. Nashda was the only one traveling tonight. See you aboard, Mr. Thurston.
You are certain that this plane is capable of making the journey, Monsieur Thurston? It does not seem very large or very strong.
No need to be concerned, Professor Gomar. We'll make it easily.
Perhaps. Still, this is such a long voyage and over water so much of the way. A boat would be so much safer, so much more... Oh, well, it is too late for that now, huh, Miss Power? Yet, as you say, the die is now cast. It has been cast.
Everything all right, Ken?
Okay, here, Chief. What about you?
Oh, they've been under constant surveillance. I'll guarantee not one of them is carrying the plans aboard.
What about Alan?
He's been checked. Not a thing on record against him. You're going on a wild goose chase, Ken. You haven't got a prayer of turning anything up. Why don't I take them all into custody before it's too late?
If I can't turn anything up, it's already too late, Chief. I'll let you know how I come out. See you later.
Come on, Ken.
NC-6X-943, the tower. Ready for takeoff. Over.
NC-6X-943, the runway is yours. Letter it. Over and out.
How do you make the altitude, Thurston?
10,001.
Course?
070 degrees.
Well, check and triple check. It's all a known how, as the man says. Nothing to do but relax from now on, eh?
Yeah? Suppose I go out, check on the passengers, and have the steward rustle up some coffee.
Yeah, you do that, Thurston. Only don't you get lost on the way. I'm reserving hand-holding privileges with that beautiful hunk of atomic fission for yours truly.
I don't know, Alan.
You just do that, Thurston. You just do that.
Nice takeoff, Mr. Thurston. If the rest of the trip is as pleasant, I'll be more than satisfied.
Thanks, Sir John. We'll try to keep you that way.
Yeah. By the way, do you happen to have the time?
It's 12:35.
Thank you.
Everything all right, Dr. Nashda?
Oh, it is indeed, Mr. Thurston. With but one exception.
Oh, what's that?
Well, traveling by airplane always stimulates me. And as I do not feel the least bit sleepy, I am certain that some coffee could do me no harm.
You will have it, Doctor? I'm going back to light a fire under the steward now.
Monsieur Thurston. Monsieur Thurston, some attention, please.
What's the trouble, Professor Gilmer?
That Captain Allen, he did not do as I wished. I told him I wanted my briefcase here on the seat beside me. And he has put it up there, where I cannot easily reach it.
Well, that's a simple matter, Professor.
Yeah. Yes, I have important notes, you understand. If anything should happen to the plane, perhaps I might be able to save them.
I wouldn't worry about it, Professor. You'll be in Paris before you know it. Hello, Pedro.
Boy, am I ever glad to see you, Mr. X. I've been sitting back here cooped up in this coop waiting for you to show. What's going on here, anyways?
Didn't the chief tell you?
And nobody tells me nothing. All I know is that I was working busy in my Uncle Ahmed's elite haberdashery emporium, and this bureau agent walks in right in the middle of a 400 spade hand with double pinnacle besides.
Then you didn't see the chief?
He took me out of this airplane. I didn't see nobody. And he told me to stay in here until I heard from you.
Yeah, well,
but believe me, I would have walked right off this thing if I didn't figure you wanted my invaluable services.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we were playing double in Spain.
Pagan. Somebody on board this plane has got some missing microfilm. Or knows where it is. I've got to find it before we reach Ireland. And you're going to help me.
Oh, sure. Now, what do you want me to do?
Hang around the passengers. Drop a few remarks about scientific secrets. H-bombs. Microfilm. Let them know you've got a few friends behind the iron curtain.
The sins. Then what?
That's all.
That's all.
It'll be enough to start putting the pressure on. I'll handle the rest of it. Wait a minute. Something you wanted, Sir John?
As a matter of fact, there is, Mr. Thurston. That coffee you spoke about.
Well, the steward will have it ready in a minute. Anything else?
Yes, Captain Allen asked me to get you. He'd like to see you off forward.
Thanks for your trouble, Sir John.
Perfectly all right, Mr. Thurston. Perfectly all right.
You wanted to see me, Allen?
Not nearly as much as I want to see Miss Nuclear Fission in 1951 and 2 and 3. Why don't you take over here and I'll take over there?
Fair enough, Bill.
Oh, and you might bend your ears around that radio headset. Some friend of yours in Washington wants to yakety-yak with you for a while.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, now you just keep your Geiger counters handy, chillin'. Daddy's going to be radioactive.
NC6X943 Thurston, calling Washington 37. NC6X943 Thurston, calling Washington 37. Come in, please.
Hello, Ken. All clear?
All clear, Chief. Talk up.
Ken, you're in trouble. There's something awfully wrong aboard that plane.
That's not news, Chief.
Well, this is. The Washington police found a dead man a couple of hours ago. Murdered. They just got a positive identification on him.
What about it?
He was an airplane pilot with the name of Bill Allen.
Come in.
May I have a word with you in private, Mr. Thurston?
Of course, sir, Dr. Nasha. Please come in.
Thank you. I wanted to speak with you about the steward, Mr. Thurston.
Zell Schmidt, what about him?
He was talking to Charles Gomara a little while ago, using your name quite frequently. If I am not mistaken, he was linking it with a certain letter of the alphabet.
Is that supposed to mean something to me?
I would not know, Mr. Thurston.
Well, then why tell me about it?
Perhaps it is because I am a woman as well as a scientist. And like most women, my heart yearns for peace. Thank you for your time, Mr. Thurston. I hope I have not wasted it for you.
Coffee time.
Come in here, you idiot, and close that door.
Oh, sure. Happy to oblige any old aeroplane pilot any old time.
Now, I had a visit from Dr. Najra a little while ago, Pagan. She told me you were up your old tricks again.
Well, once a salesman, always leave him laughing, you know. Well, here you are, Mr. X.
Did you learn anything out there?
Did I learn anything? Believe me, I learned plenty. Oh, it smells so good, I think I'll have a cup myself.
Come on, let's have it.
Well, don't drink it so, Mr. X, but those three jokers out there, they're all spies.
What?
That's right. I heard them telling the Captain Allen all about it. All three of them were in that atom bomb place down in New Mexico, and you know nobody but spies can get in there.
Oh, fuck.
Well, let's stage this good old job, huh, Mr. X? There's mud in your eye.
Drop that cup, Pedro.
Jerry.
Ooh. Hey, what the big idea knocking that coffee out of my hand? I'm dying for a drink of that stuff.
You almost were dying for a fact.
Huh?
Yeah. Smell this coffee.
So what? It smells like coffee. Maybe burnt nuts of some kind?
Yeah. Bitter almonds.
But I didn't put any nuts in that coffee.
No, but one of our friends out there put something in it. Poison.
Return to the man called X in just a moment. The blood plasma reserve for the fighting men in Korea is exhausted. Unaccountably, donations have decreased sharply in the last few months. Now, this condition must not continue. The lives of our loved ones must not be lost needlessly. Our soldiers in Korea are giving their blood for their buddies. Can we do less? Call your local headquarters of the American Red Cross now. Make an appointment this week to give just a pint of your blood to save a life. And now, Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. known simply as Formula H, and yet it holds the key to the most powerful, the most terrifying weapon ever conceived by man. And a microfilm set of the plans is suddenly discovered to be missing. Ken Thurston, acting as co-pilot, is aboard a transatlantic plane chartered by three international atomic scientists, all under equal suspicion of having stolen the missing plans. And now, in the pilot's compartment, Ken has just become aware of an attempt to kill him with poison coffee.
Poison?
That's right, Pedro.
But who? But why? Oh, but what?
Take your pick. There are four to choose from.
Four?
Our pilot. He's a phony. The real Bill Allen was found a couple of hours ago by the Washington police. Murdered.
Oh, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Sure, why not? We can... Oh.
Yeah.
But we're stuck up here in the middle of nothing with somebody who wants to bump us off. What do we do, Mr. Thurston? What do we do?
I don't think we'll have much to say about it.
Huh?
Listen to those engines. The ship's beginning to ice up.
What are you talking about, ice? There's plenty of warp in here.
Take a look at those wings. The ice is piling up fast. Another 30 minutes of that and we'll spin down out of control.
Ice missing plans, poison coffee. That puts us right between the devil.
Well, Palsy. Sounds like our putt-putts are playing knock-knock. What is out there, Ice?
That's right. Building up fast.
Well, that lovely whistle bait Aline Najda ain't the only de-icer we got aboard.
I switched on the de-icers half an hour ago. Something's wrong with them. They're not working.
Well, now that's a revolting thought. You got any suggestions?
There's an old deserted landing field this side of Gander, Newfoundland. The ferrying command used it during the war. And there's just a prayer we can make it.
Fair enough. I'll let our paying passengers in on the scoop, then come back and help you set it down. I got a hunch, though, that somebody aboard this flying chemistry class ain't going to like the change of plans.
You know, Ellen, or whatever your name is, I was just thinking the same thing. I don't know about Bill Allen, but I think you could have put it down.
Well, that friend of yours back in Washington tipped you off to the switch, huh?
That's right. Well?
Well, now, you can't chew out a guy for helping out a pal in a jam.
What kind of jam?
Too much elbow bending. When this flight was canceled the first time, he made for the Savoy Bar. He wasn't in no fitting condition when it was scheduled again, so I took over.
It won't wash. Allen's dead. Murdered.
Are you leveling, Thurston?
Yeah.
Well, then I tell you what. Let's take care of the pay and freight while I think it over. Weather ought to clear in a couple of hours, and it could be I'll have something mighty interesting to talk over with you by then.
I knew that some disaster would overtake us upon this trip. Did I not say so, Misery? Did I not?
Oh, it's not as bad as all that, Gomar. Can't you look upon it as an adventurer's luck?
I do not care for adventure in an ice-bound wilderness, Sir John. Only in a safe passage back to Paris. What is to be done now, Mr. Thurston? I ask of you.
As soon as the steward and Captain Allen secure the plane, we'll head for that shelter hut at the end of the runway. You can light a fire and be comfortable in there until the weather clears.
Now, those are pleasing words, Mr. Thurston. What is more inviting than a roaring fire and good company while a storm rages outside?
Yes, very well, very well. If we have no alternative, let us be about it.
Aline and I will go with him, Thurston. We'll have the fire going by the time you get there.
Thanks, Sir John.
Oh, by the way, do you have the time?
Hmm? Yeah, it's 7:15.
Thank you. One of the penalties of exacting scientific research seems to be a nervous stomach. The pills have to be taken on schedule. Come along, Ellie, my dear.
Right.
See you later, Thurston.
Yeah.
Well, I got the sandwiches and the hot drinks, Mr. X. A tea, that is. So let's take a powder for that ramshackle over there.
Where's Allen?
I haven't seen him. I guess he's still on board the airplane somewhere. Ah, but who cares?
I think we'd better care, Pedro. Come on.
Hey, it's cold on the board of that plane.
It'll be a lot colder here if he takes off without us.
Huh? Now, how would he do that?
We still haven't found the missing plans. And they're more than worth a gamble with a little ice.
Mr. X,
He's not here.
He's got to be. Let's try the office.
Mr. X.
Yes.
Oh, but who? How?
This time the coffee gag worked, Pedro. Poison.
Poisoned, but it does not make any sense, Mr. Thurston.
It makes plenty of sense to one of you here, Dr. Nashda.
I'm not certain that I understand, Thurston.
That man wasn't Bill Allen. He was helping one of you get some stolen microfilm out of the United States.
What kind of nonsense is this, Mr. Thurston? We are scientists of international repute. It is ridiculous to accuse one of us of stealing Formula H.
I didn't know I'd mentioned what formula was missing.
Well, perhaps you did not. But this kind of accusation, the inquiry and searching back in Washington, I but drew the natural conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, Thurston, I'm almost convinced that Gormar is right. Now, this pilot of ours was a Confederate and stolen microfilm. Why would he have been killed?
There can only be one answer, Sir John. To prevent him from telling what he knows.
Is that guesswork, Dr. Nasher? Or knowledge?
Why can't we term it fundamental deduction, Mr. Thurston?
Maybe we would. If it wasn't for this.
Now, what in the world would that be?
A charm from a lady's bracelet, Sir John. I found it on the floor of the plane. Under the pilot's body.
Well, I presume you have some explanation for that, Aline, my dear.
Well, of course. The simple truth.
And that is?
Well, I noticed that charm was missing from my bracelet hours ago. I must have lost it aboard the plane, and someone else picked it up. For what purpose is now rather obvious.
The only thing obvious about all this, mademoiselle, is the identity of the guilty party.
Suppose we let the Newfoundland authorities decide about that, Professor.
But while she is free, all our lives are in danger.
They won't be for long. The weather's starting to clear now. Another hour, and we'll wind up this little affair in the town of Gander.
Thurston. Gander calling NC-6X-943, Thurston. Can you read me? Come in, please. Over.
Read you loud and clear, Chief. Glad to hear you got to Gander all right.
Sure. An army jet got me here in plenty of time. But what's been holding you up? According to our plan, I expected you here hours ago.
Had a little trouble, Chief. Ice. Murder.
What?
Auto land in about 30 minutes now. Have a private office ready for us. I'll tell you all about it then.
Here's the office, Ken. You want everybody in to talk things over?
It'll be simpler that way, Chief. Will you all step inside, please?
Certainly. Care to oblige, sir.
I am sorry, monsieur, but I cannot say the same. All this officiousness, this delay, it's inexcusable.
Why should you object, Professor Gormar? After all, I am the one who is suspect at the moment. Come along.
Yes, very well. Very well.
You want to take over, Ken?
If you don't mind, Chief, it won't take long. You all know, well, you know by now why we're here. One of you suspected of espionage, of having stolen top-secret microfilm. Microfilm of Formula H.
Oh, then Gomar's guess was right, Thurston.
If it was a guess, Sir John.
I told you. I but drew a natural conclusion, monsieur.
So you did. And Dr. Nasda told us she was innocent of the pilot's murder. Now, I'm wondering what Sir John has to say.
What I have to say? What about Mr. Thurston?
About your stomach pills, your wristwatch.
What?
A poisoned pellet can easily be disguised as an innocent pill. And I'm curious as to why a man who's wearing a watch is always asking the time.
I don't know what you're driving at, Thurston. Is there anything unusual about a man's watch stopping?
Not unless there's a microfilm concealed in the case that's caused it to stop.
Microfilm? Ken.
I told you I'd wind things up in Gander, Chief. You better take him away.
I guess we put the wraps on this one all right, eh, Mr. X? I knew all the time it was that Sir John Saunders joker.
Oh, sure.
Sure, it was as plain as my nose. Hey, what are we stopping at the airplane garage for?
Our plane was put inside for repairs.
What? But I thought Professor Gumar and that Aline Najda were taking off for Paris in a little while.
They are. We have to switch planes for them. The de-icers on this one don't work. Remember?
Oh, well, sure. Hey, it's dark in here, Mr. X. Why don't we turn on the light or something?
It's light enough for our purpose.
Oh, that's right there. It's, hey, what is our purpose anyway?
Keep quiet and I'll show you.
But Mr. X...
Quiet.
Oh, but let's come to the end of this place. There's no plane in here.
The hangar's divided into two sections. It's in the next one. Through this door. Yeah, it is bigger.
Mr. X, look.
Yeah.
But what's going on there with that plane?
The plate covering the alcohol tank being removed.
What alcohol tank?
The one used to fuel the de-icers.
Hey, where's the alcohol?
That's why the de-icers didn't work. There's something else being taken out of that tank. You see?
Mr. Rex, that's the...
Yeah. I'll take that if you don't mind, Aline. The microfilm, Aline.
But it was Sir John. That is... Well, I thought you... Oh. So it was a trap.
That's right. We had to get proof. So Sir John played along with us. You had to feel safe enough to walk into it.
I see.
But the microfilm on the tank. How'd you know about that?
It figured, Pega. She had to get it out of the country some way. The pilot was working with her. And the de-icers didn't work.
You know you're not going to walk out of here alive, don't you, Mr. Thurston?
Mr. Ray.
Oh, put that thing away. The chief's got the hangar surrounded. You're all through.
For the time being, I have lost.
You lost a long time ago, Aline. When you decided you'd try to help destroy the world. Well, someday we'll find a remedy for what's wrong with you and a lot of people like you. We've got to find it. Let's pray that it's short of war.
Now, here's our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to Lucille Meredith, Will Wright, Dan O'Hurley, Howard McNair, and Stacey Harris. Next week, well, who would dream that the icy slopes of the Matterhorn would hold the key to one of the most disruptive forces at work in the world today? And I don't mean Leon Belasco, but he'll be along on the trip to Switzerland as Pagan Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return... As the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. This program is directed by Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious. And any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, until next week, same time and station, this is Hal Gibney saying good night for The Man Called X.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Duncan MacIntyre, the greatest poet of the Scottish Highlands, whose literary magnitude has been compared to Robert Burns, could neither read nor write, Believe It or Not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a strange 14th century vigil. A bed has been kept ready for the arrival of a guest for more than 1,400 years. A monk named Pao Chi died in the year 514 in the memorial temple of Hangzhou, China. His last words were, "I shall return." Apparently, Pao Chi's fellow monks took him at his word, because they've changed the linen on Pau Chi's bed more than 57 million times over the last 14 centuries. Believe it or not.
This is Mr. Moto. Mr. I.A. Moto.
NBC presents the world's greatest international secret agent, Mr. I.A. Moto, the popular Japanese character created by Pulitzer Prize winner John P. Marquand. Across the world, from Japan to Jersey, from Cape Horn to Murmansk, Mr. Moto is fighting the evils of communism quietly, ruthlessly, courageously. Tonight's story, Project 77, starring Mr. Moto, Mr. I.A. Moto.
Commander Freer, it is so simple.
No.
The drawing board is here. Pencils, rulers.
No.
A few lines and I will unchain you at once.
The answer is no. No.
Let us pray that your stubbornness
you
may be...
You fraud. You colossal, stinking, hypocritical, dirty...
No profanity, Commander. Please remember I am a minister of the gospel.
Tisdale, I'll get you for this. Someday I'll beat that sanctimonious face of yours and...
Turn on the sun lamp again, Katawa.
Yes, husband.
Thank you, my dear.
Listen up.
Commander, you look like a holiday in Miami. So terribly sunburned. Katawa, cool the commander with a little more vinegar.
Tisdale, for heaven's sake!
Commander Freer, if necessary, I will keep you under that sun lamp until your flesh can be flecked off and fed to the mountain birds. I always get what I want.
Do you?
Always. And I want Project 77.
The assignment on Project 77 began 2 feet in front of a jet motor, flying faster than sound. The roar of the jet never reached our ears as we streaked across the blue Pacific at 35,000 feet. I was being sent to Otaru, Japan, the land of my honored forefathers. As Otaru rushed up to meet us, looking white and serene beside the sparkling sea of Japan, I could see 200 miles away across the Tartar Strait, the gloomy coast of Russia. I have orders to report to Captain Thomas Denny, the officer in charge of the United States Naval Experimental Station at Otaru. The station consisted of two United States destroyer escorts moored to a dock at the end of which nestled six gray Quonset huts. Captain Denny, nervous and tense, was in his office in Hut A.
Commander Freer did not log aboard the night before last, Mr. Moto.
And he has not been seen since?
No.
He is entirely in charge of Project 77 here?
And anywhere else, didn't you know that?
Yes, but I wondered if you did. When were you last at sea?
Commander Freer and I took the Shelton out 9 days ago.
To where?
Commander Freer wished to test 77 on the Tuscarora Trench.
The what?
The Tuscarora Trench. It's an awe-inspiring sea, Mr. Moto. There's a canyon on the floor of the sea just east of Japan. Our sounding apparatus indicated depths of over 5,000 fathoms.
5,000 fathoms?
Yes, almost 6 miles, yes.
Go on, Captain Stanley.
Even at this enormous depth, even straight down through 6 miles of water, 77 caused explosions at the bottom of the Tuscarora.
Then the tests have been successful.
Beyond our wildest dreams.
Really?
Yes. Even underwater, 77 traveled in excess of 200 miles an hour. It isn't a torpedo, it's an underwater bullet. Small, jet-propelled, with an atomic warhead, it will end submarine warfare. No submersible in the world can elude a guided missile traveling at that speed.
Captain Stanley, are you aware that certain details of Project 77 are already in the hands of foreign agents?
Mr. Moto, you're joking.
No, no.
But it's absolutely top secret.
In January, an associate of Commander Freer's named Lowell disappeared in Paris. He had one of the anisotropic crystals with him.
Then you think...
Yes. Yes, I believe Commander Freer is the missing link. Jet-propelled underwater missiles are in the arsenals of every nation in the world. The big obstacle, keeping the missile on its course underwater at these high speeds, is hurdled by the anisotropic crystal. Diagrams of a crystal and the exact wavelength figure exist only in two places, Washington and Commander Freer's head.
Then he is the only man in the Orient who could...
Exactly. All that a potential enemy needs to know is a figure one, followed by a decimal point and five unknown digits. This figure, plus a drawing of the crystal, equals 77.
So that if Commander Freer were forced to talk...
The project would become the property of whomever he talked to.
Mordo, what can we do? Commander Freer is my responsibility.
Who saw him last?
The officer of the deck saw him leave his laboratory in Hut B at 6:45.
The night before last?
Yes, it was the commander's habit to take a walk right after dinner every evening.
Ah, where?
Up the blossoming Shalimar along the Tsushima Road.
But wouldn't
we
that...
used to send a man along with him, but he insisted he could take care of himself. A missionary named Tisdale saw him pass.
Tisdale?
Yes, the Reverend James Tisdale, a Protestant missionary. He's a nice guy, not stuffy or anything like that. He has a mission up in the hills, married a native woman.
And he saw Commander Freer?
Go past the mission about 7:15 up into the hills. Freer waved and said good evening. He hasn't been seen since.
Then I will begin with the man who saw Commander Freer last. I shall invite myself to tea at the mission of the Reverend James Tisdale.
It is so refreshing to meet someone from the outside world.
Thank you, Reverend Tisdale.
I get lonely for informed conversation. More tea.
Thank you. It is delicious.
Katawa, tea, please. Mr. Moto, my wife is a Naina woman. She believes that a wife is a slave whose only duty is to serve her husband. She clings to her native customs and refuses to behave as my equal.
She is Christian?
No, I am leaving her conversion in the hands of the Almighty.
I bring the tea, Master.
No. And more little cakes, too. How thoughtful.
I will serve Mr. Moto first.
You should be honored, Mr. Moto. That is the first time she's ever done that.
But Mr. Moto is Japanese from America.
Thank you very much.
The tea cakes are surpassing delicacy.
Thank you.
It is my honor. Tea, Master.
No, thank you, dear. That's all.
Yes, Master.
You see what I mean? Sometimes I think all the mystery of the Orient is hidden in those beautiful jet eyes. And her hands, so languid, so elegant.
The breeding of uncounted centuries.
Yes.
And now, Reverend Tisdale...
Oh, yes, about Commander Freer. I am very upset. The natives here, as you may know, are Ainus.
Yes, I do know.
They once occupied the whole of Japan. There are only some 12,000 of them left now. Their situation is not unlike that of the American Indian at home. Basically, they are honest, and I believe that because of this, I can help you.
And may I ask how?
The Ainus will talk to me where they would say nothing to an outsider. The country around here is wild and primitive, mostly hillmen, hunters. Many of them are bandits. Now, I suspect that a band of them somewhere in the hills have kidnapped Commander Freer and are holding him for ransom. I will ask about it at prayer meeting tonight.
You have a large parish?
No, only 400 converts in 3 years. But those who have embraced Christianity are fervent and sincere. If Commander Freer is anywhere in the district, someone in the congregation will come to me and tell me.
And when they do, you will contact me at the station, please.
Oh, at once, Mr. Moto. Immediately.
You have been very, very kind, and this has been very, very pleasant. Commander Freer's disappearance is more urgent than it appears on the surface.
I will try to help in my humble way.
Then I shall leave you now and thank you again.
It has been my pleasure, believe me.
Goodbye, Reverend Tisdale.
Goodbye, Mr. Moto.
Choto, down cellar, quickly. And bring the straw and the needle. We have wasted enough time on Commander Freer.
Coming, Louisa.
Now, really, Commander Freer, this has gone too far. It pains me deeply. You could be sold by the pound as raw beef. Now, will you do as I asked?
Choto.
Because of my enormous stupidity, I could not at once lay my clumsy hands upon the straw and the needle.
Commander Freer is unconscious. A little vinegar will revive him. Quickly, Choto.
Yes, Rita.
Good. Now, Commander Freer, can you understand me? Can you hear me?
I won't do it.
Except for the method of keeping the missile on course, we have everything. I want the wavelength that excites that crystal and a diagram of the crystal itself. Now there is pencil and paper and the drawing board.
I won't do it. I'm in it, Tisdale. You want to kill me, go ahead.
Choto, are you ready?
Does the barbarian understand?
Commander, Choto is an Ainu warrior. If you insist on being stubborn, he inserts that straw under your skin and blows you up, Commander Freer, until you burst like a balloon.
You fiend, you...
Go ahead, Choto.
Yes, Rita.
No, don't, please.
All right, I'll give it to you. Oh. God has banished the stubbornness from your soul. Unchain him, Choto.
Yes.
Hurry, Choto. Now, Commander. The figures, just four of them?
No, five.
Five decimal points?
Yes.
1 point what?
1, 2, 3, 8, 7, 7.
Excellent. Now the drawing, quickly.
It's so hard for me to move.
Help him, Choto.
Yes, Master.
That's it. Are you comfortable, Commander? Good. Then draw the crystal. Commander, in an hour you can be back at the station.
Have I your word?
A few lines on a piece of paper and you are free. I promise.
This... by the convex on a paraboloid base. The distance V squared must be exactly one wavelength for the radiation to be in phase.
Thank you, Commander. Choto?
Yes, we are.
Listen carefully. Send a code cable to Comrade Kabalovsk in Vladivostok. He must get a plane to Otaru at once. Tell him I have obtained the last link in Project 77 and that I will deliver it to him tomorrow night at 7 in the Cafe of the Grinning Buddha.
I understand, Rita.
Good. Then I will prepare for prayer meeting. Commander Freer is unconscious again. Well, perhaps it is easier that way. Dispose of him. You can bury him somewhere in the hills.
Mr. Moto, you're wrong. Tisdale is a minister of the gospel. I'm as sure as I'm sitting here, he's on a level.
There should be a reply to my cable any moment now.
The man radiates sincerity and integrity.
I am sure the Reverend Tisdale gives an impression of great divinity. But, Captain Stanley, he is a liar.
How? Tell me one thing he said.
You forget, Captain Stanley, that I speak Japanese as fluently as I do English. He told me he had 400 parishioners. On my way home from the mission, I called on the peasants. They are simple people, good people. But, Captain Stanley, not once did I see a cross or a Bible. Not in a single home. These people are not being preached Christianity by today.
What does he preach?
I heard an old woman mutter, Kaminomichi, the way of the God. These people are being preached a new Shintoism.
Shintoism?
With a new God to be worshipped. The God of communism. Tisdale tells them they are being exploited. The communists always work on minority groups. The pressed, the poor.
Come in. The table just came in, sir, for Mr. Moto.
Ah, thank you very much.
And there's something else, sir.
Just a moment, Mr. Lawson.
Ah, this is from the Board of Foreign Missions in Boston. No Protestant denomination has a resident missionary at Otaru. I was right.
I'm stunned. I can't believe Tisdale's a phony.
Excuse me, sir. There's another message.
Yes?
A coolie just brought this to the front gate of Hut C. It's from Mr. Moto, too.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. That's all.
Yes, sir.
I am so very, very pleased. Everything is progressing very, very well.
Mind telling me why?
This is from the Anu woman. Tisdale's wife. I knew I was right. I knew I recognized her signal. Here, read it.
Right, dear.
Oh, I am sorry. You do not read Japanese. Forgive me. She writes to the first served.
Who's that?
Me. To the first served during the bell this evening.
I don't get it.
An Anu woman of her breeding would always serve her husband first, no matter how important or how numerous the guests.
And didn't she?
This afternoon, when she served tea, twice she served me ahead of Tisdale. First with tea, then with little cakes. That is what she means by to the first served.
And the bells.
She wants me to come to her tonight while the Reverend Tisdale conducts what he calls his prayer meeting. Let me in, please. I am alone.
So, you have come.
Yes. Is he at church?
Yes. Come in, please.
I prostrate myself to your beauty and elegance.
Let us ignore manners and graciousness, Mr. Modo. The understanding of my message came to you.
With great clarity.
Three times I have prevented things from happening. While only hell could imitate the heat of my hate for this.
I understand.
I could not possibly betray my husband to a white barbarian. You are Japanese. You have been sent to me by Tao. Some of us look for the way in opium, some in whiskey, some in love, some in your God. The bell has stopped. It is a sign, Mr. Moto.
Most honorable lady. Your elegance is beyond statement, but the matter is so very, very urgent. May I humbly beg you to proceed?
The soul of Commander Freer has fled his body.
When?
The Tisdale exposed him to a lamp of the sun until he was the color of boiling blood.
How horrible.
This better this way. His agony was of the crashing of whales. A servant of my husband killed him in the hills.
Did the commander give your husband any information?
About a weapon, yes. About a thing called 7-7. A bullet that flies beneath the water.
What sort of information? Please hurry, honorable lady. This is of desperate urgency.
A series of numbers and a drawing of a crystal.
Where is it now?
The Tisdale carries it upon his revolting body. But tomorrow night.
Yes?
The drawing will be given to a man named Kavalov.
Kavalov?
A Russian from Vladivostok.
Where?
In the cafe of the Grinning Buddha and Feet of the Blossoming Shalimar.
May Tao shower on you 1,000 blessings.
Mr. Modo, I ask only one thing.
It is granted.
I am a daughter of the House of Tongue, the most glorious name in Ainu history. When I saw what the Tisdale meant to do to my people, I married him. I fight him constantly. If he knows I have betrayed him, he will kill me. Then my usefulness to my people will end.
I give you my word that you will be protected. Captain Stanley, I want you to send 20 men down to the Grinning Buddha Cafe and arrest Tisdale at once. You and I will accompany him.
Right.
Any word of the plane?
Not yet, but Vladivostok is only a 300-mile flight. All the radar stations have been notified. The moment Kavalov lands, he'll be arrested. Every patrol boat in the harbor is standing by.
Excellent. You have told the men that Tisdale is not a minister.
Yes.
Then let us go at once to the cafe of the Grinning Buddha.
Captain Stanley with 20 American sailors left the station 5 minutes ago.
What do you mean?
They're going to arrest you.
Arrest me? They wouldn't dare.
Last evening, Master, Your honorable wife entertained the Japanese Mr. Moto.
Soto, what do you say?
Master, I swear it is true. My brother watched the house while I was in the hills disposing of Commander Freer. When I came back, he told me. Moto talked to her during the prayer meeting. My brother saw him come and go.
You mean the power told him?
Yes, Master. You must leave at once. They will be here any moment.
Has Sabaloth landed?
Not yet. The boat is waiting to meet the seaplane.
Take this paper. Go out in the boat and give it to Cavalos. When you have delivered it safely into his hands, come to the cave in the hills beside the Jasmine Bridge. Tatao and I will meet you there.
Leave her, Master. She is against us.
That is why I shall take her with me.
Hurry, then. When you are not here, they will go at once to the mission.
Get that paper to Cavalos. I will collect my erring wife. You will meet us at the cave. They could look for 100 years and not find us in those hills.
I cannot understand it, Captain Sam. Tisdale has obviously left in a hurry. But somewhere in this mission, that woman would leave me a clue.
Mr. Lawton searched the house thoroughly. There was nothing.
And somewhere in this chapel, we will find something. I know it.
Mr. Moto, Captain Stanley, come here quickly. Over here is the organ. It's not turned on. I just noticed. Look, 4 matches laid on the keys.
I knew it. I knew she would try to leave me a message.
What is it?
Wait, Captain Stanley. Don't touch the matches. A crucifix on top of the organ and 4 matches. On the keys. And let me think.
I don't get it.
Matches on the key B, D, G, and E. E, D, G, E. Bridge, of course. She left the motor of the organ running and spelt out the word bridge.
Yeah, but what bridge?
Let me think.
Well, how does the crucifix work in?
Not a crucifix, Mr. Lawton. Across a bridge. What's that? There, on the floor.
Well, it's a flower.
A jasmine blossom. Across the jasmine bridge, Captain Stanley.
I think you've got something. There are caves up there, a lot of them. The bridge crosses a gorge and leads to a pass up the mountain of Yamada.
I knew she would do it. Hurry, Captain Stanley. Collect your men. We must go at once across the jasmine bridge. Captain Stanley, wait.
What?
Up the mountain there. You know, to the right.
Oh, it has a light.
Yes. Your binoculars, please.
Yeah, here.
Ah, a lantern in front of a rock.
What a woman. Jasmine blossoms at every turn in the path, now a lantern.
They are up there in one of the caves. The lantern is hidden from Tisdale by the rock. Give me your revolver, Captain.
Look, Mr. Moto,
Please, do what I say. The men are spread out too much. Get them together, and as quietly as it is possible for 20 American sailors to move, have them approach that cave. I will go in first.
No, Tisdale can have machine guns, rifles. Those caves are
big. Please. Mrs. Tisdale is a brave woman. I promise to protect her. Tisdale is capable of murdering her if she is cornered. Now, give me your whistle.
I can't let you risk this.
Please, your whistle. Assemble the men as quietly as possible. And above all, even if you hear shots, do not come into that cave until I blow this whistle.
Katawa, you have sinned against your husband. Sinned deeply. But as a man of God, I have decided to forgive you. Come here.
No.
You are more like an idol than a woman. You are very beautiful, and I love you very much. Even though you are a heathen native.
Native? I. My ancestors were carving trees when yours were cutting off each other's scalps with tomahawks. In 5 languages, I read and write. I read your Karl Marx in German before you read it in English. Native?
season.
I love you when you're excited.
You are a monster of vulgarity and conceit. I betrayed you. And I've betrayed you before.
Look, Katawa, I can't play cat and mouse all night. Now, let's be friendly, shall we?
I suspect.
We're alone in this cave, and I'm your husband.
I wept with disgust in your presence.
I don't want to be brutal, Katawa.
Brutal? The roots is all you know.
Come here.
You'll carry your stick. I give it to
you. You little tiger.
Don't touch me. Let me go.
You're so beautiful, Katawa. I love you.
You eat some trash heat.
That rosebud's mouth to kiss it. Bite me, will you? Then we'll play it our way.
You pig. You monster of evil.
You want to fight, we'll fight.
No.
You need a lesson, my little beauty, and now you're going to get it.
No. Please, in the name of God, I implore you not to.
You little...
Mr. Moto,
you have come...
Still.
I have suspected for some time that Katawa and Choto were plotting against... Well, Mr. Moto, it is...
Kill him. Only death takes up the vastness of his evil. Shoot him, Mr. Moto, now.
Moto, I can explain everything. Please, now, put that gun down.
Carlos and Choto have been arrested. A patrol boat got to the seaplane the moment it landed.
Moto, please. No, please, now. Let me explain what has happened.
You were betrayed by the symbol you defiled. By a cross. In your own chapel.
Kill him, Mr. Moto. If you do not, he will talk himself free. He has done it before. I beg of you, Mr. Moto, listen to me. Look at me. I swear this man is a devil. He will get away unless you... Mr. Moto, look out. He has got the rock. Watch out.
Stop it,
there is no chap living with it.
I am sorry. I hate to kill.
Who would have killed you? He has killed before.
Mrs. Kissinger, there are American sailors outside. Your clothes are torn. Please, would my coat save you from that?
Could cover my unfriendliness. To have been what I have been. To a man who called himself a man of God.
He was not a man of God. He was a man of the devil. The Red Devil.
Just heard the world's greatest international secret agent, Mr. I.A. Moto. James Monk stars as Mr. Moto. The script was written and directed by Harry W. Duncan, produced by Carol Irwin. Members of the cast were Bill Smith, Connie Lemke, Bill Lipton, Scott Tennyson, and Ian Martin. The music was transcribed. This is Fred Collins speaking, and here with a preview of next week's story is Mr. I.A. Moto.
Thank you. Next week, a story of danger and a fight against the unknown. A search for the unsuspected man engaged in sabotage. And now, may the stars of night watch over your peace and repose. May your dreams be radiant with moonglow, shimmering with enchantment. Good night.
That's going to do it for our show today. I'll be back tomorrow with Case Closed and the Horror Replay. We'll have stuff from Stand By for Crime, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, and a golden oldie from the past of the horror from the Hall of Fantasy. In the meantime, you can visit RelicRadio.com to find all the Relic Radio podcasts, links to past episodes, and all other kind of goodies hidden there. Find a link to the forum, our live shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.